This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I stand for the SEC.
Oh,
okay. I stand for a lot of things. But normally I am, okay, whatever you guys want to do, I'm in. I'll fall in line. That's just the way I operate.
Member of the cult.
Huh?
Member of the cult.
I am a proud member. We're family. We're family. And what's good for South Carolina is good for me, right? I stand up and I say, you know what? I'm a supporter. But I just don't like this. So now what is the latest on the, because obviously they've decided last week or a week and a half ago that they are going to go with the seeding, straight line seeding, 1 through 12 or 1 through 16 when they eventually go there. Well, they're trying to figure out beyond this year now. So the latest is, and the SEC and the Big Ten met, and they are talking about how they want to proceed. They want four guarantees for each conference. Okay? Four guaranteed teams in the college football playoff for each conference. So the SEC would get four. The Big Ten would get four. The Big 12 would get two. The ACC would get two. The group of five would get one, so and then they would just like get like what three at-large bids or whatever beyond that. Because that's got 8, 10, 12, that's 13, so you get three at-large bids beyond that. The Big 12 is pushing back on this. They're like, no, we don't want a guarantee two. We want to have the opportunity to maybe get three. Which they could, I guess, because of the at-large. But my problem here with what the SEC and the Big 10 want is what they would do is the number one and number two teams in their conference would automatically get in. And then the third place team would play the six and the fourth would play the five in conference. Winner gets those spots. I'm sorry, Iowa was the sixth place team in the Big Ten. They were not a playoff team last year.
Stop it.
South Carolina would have been playing in the SEC third place, second whatever championship. They were not. I mean, they were better than Iowa, but they didn't deserve to get it. By the way, Ole Miss would have gotten left out completely because they were like eighth in conference. So are you going to go by a conference record? So just leave it as just get as many teams in. If the SEC happens to get eight teams one year, then they happen to get eight teams one year.
Yes.
If they happen to get one, because you're going to give a conference champ one, right? If they happen to get one, they get one. And guess who wants that? The SEC coaches have already said, we don't want the four guarantees. We want to just play it out because four guarantees limits them.
Yeah. As Tony Romo said, it's meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
Stop all this predetermined stuff. Now, the balance is trying to give the have-nots the opportunity and the chance, right? To me, that happens with just expanding the playoff, not guaranteeing each conference a certain set and amount. I hate that. No.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's the simplest fix to this is you give the automatic bids, like you get an automatic playoff bid to if you win your conference, fine. Okay. And then after that, all the seeding is done just by rankings. Like it's just like the straight line seeding. All right. We just go one through whatever. And to me, like that's the easiest way to fix this. And you will get the best possible teams. You'll get the teams that had qualified for it by winning their conference, right. And then you stack it up the way it needs to be.
You know what's going to happen, right? You know what's inevitable.
They're breaking away.
No, this whole thing is going to March Madness.
Oh, 64.
We're gonna have a 60 team tournament, and everyone will make boatloads of even more cash, and then no one can be left crying. That'll be their perspective of saying, "Oh, you didn't get into the tournament." So they'll be like, "There you go, solve for everyone."
You got to shorten the season if you're going to do that, because college will end up getting a ton of questions about like, all right, well, if you're worried about player safety, why are we extending the season potentially by like four games?
Yeah, we can't play. Do this. You'd play almost 20 games,
and I'm exaggerating to a degree, but
yeah, it's going to keep expanding. Yeah. A playoff, like in general, like a larger playoff field,
right?
Yeah.
You would just eliminate all non-conference games. You would play your eight conference games, and then you would go right into the postseason. So. Maybe that what does happening, but they are looking at the 5 plus 11, so 5 automatic qualifiers, and then 11 at large teams. They're still going to use the same kind of committee, and it would just be that would be the way they go. That's what the SEC coaches want, but the athletic director of both the Big Ten and the SEC want to have a guarantee, and I think they're just missing the mark. I think they're just missing the boat. Speaking of missing the boat, college football kegger here on 105 to the Fan. No, the kegger doesn't miss the boat, but Georgia Tech did. Georgia Tech's handing out rings for a 7-6 Birmingham Bowl season.
Oh gosh,
they are handing out rings. This is the participation wussification trophy here that's happening right now. Rings for a 7-6 team. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's shameful.
Is that worse than the Colts banner, the AFC finalist banner they hung up in 2014?
I think it's on par. I think it's on par.
I think if you're a student athlete, like I at least could say, all right, Georgia Tech is trying to like make this a special thing for a lot of like guys who this will be the peak of their careers or whatever. Like I can kind of like justify at least a little bit the idea of like, oh, it's a special memento for that group of players. The Colts were a professional football
team. But the finalists, that meant what? How far did they go?
They lost in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, they lost.
And they hung up a AFC finalist banner, which great. Is still the set. So and they did great. That like
that's worse.
5 years after they were in the Super Bowl, they hung that banner up?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's not like a team that had zero success whatsoever. That's worse because they're pro.
Yeah, if the Browns go to the AFC Championship game, they never go.
Let me ask this question for you and your youth sports. Have you, as a parent on the fan text, Franklin LaFranco injury attorney text line, 877-881-1053, have you basically talked your child out of wearing the participation ring that they got? You can put the trophy up, but I mean, like, if they want to wear it, or is that just way too cold-blooded? Or have you at least had the serious talk of, you know, you guys finished in fourth. Like, you shouldn't really wear that or be that proud of it or sport it.
So the rings, they only get, in baseball at least, they only give rings if you're in the championship game.
So the Indianapolis Colts ring.
Yeah, so they give one of those. But the kids don't wear them because they're like...
But you get a ring if you lose in the title game?
You get a different color ring. Yeah, you get the, like, it's gold or silver or whatever. But what they don't wear them because they're too big. What they do is, like, they have, like, those stands where you got, like, a bunch of holes, ring holes. So they just put them up there. Kids love them. They like the pictures. They get the picture with them.
No, I know they like them, but do you ever have the talk with your kid, like... You know, you really shouldn't. They shouldn't be giving you a ring for losing in the title game.
Yeah, because the question is always then, like, where does...
Robbing them of the joy, but, like, at what age? You know, if it's, like,
but, like, where does
12?
It stop?
Yes.
Where do we stop? Where do we say, like, okay, why wasn't it the game before that? Why aren't they honored as well for their success for going to... Like,
yeah.
It seems like an arbitrary cutoff when you get to, well, if you lost in the title... No, well, like, we should either have a title for who won and then nothing else for anybody else. It's the old Mark Cuban quote when he gave when he was talking about the pressure to win in the mid-2000s. He was talking about, we've had a lot of success, but look, at the end of the day, there's one big dog and then there's 29 other teams sniffing his butt. That's what it is.
Yeah, I find that it's one of those things where you say it, but when it comes down to it, you don't do it. Like I know a lot
I'm
of
not
people
saying you're going to take it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people say, like, I'm never going to let my kid get a participation or a second place trophy. And then when their kid has it, they never take it away.
I wouldn't tell them, but I would just hope they would not want to. But I would never tell them.
College football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. This is an interesting one. This is one of those bills that gets put on the docket just to get this congressman's name out there. But they are still going to follow through with this congressman in Ohio to ban Ohio teams from competing in a game at noon. They want to ban noon games.
Why?
Because they're sick of Ohio State, because Ohio State plays Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Noon. Big noon game. Nobody wants to see a noon football game on a Saturday, right? Noon, you're still picking the crusties. It's 11 a.m. here. You're still getting the lawn mowed. You're still, you know, maybe figuring out what you want to do for the day. You're getting your honey-do list complete. It's 11 o'clock rolls around, and now you're cooked till 4. You know, like, you don't want to do anything. So, and I support this from that perspective, but they're trying to get an Ohio team, this is just an Ohio guy, saying you cannot play a noon game in the state of Ohio if you're in the top 10.
Well, you know what? This is Chris Del Conte, the AD at Texas. He recognized that they're just a bunch of heathens there in Ohio, is what he came down on. Because they asked Chris Del Conte, they're like, why didn't you just agree with Ohio State to move the game? And he said, why would I want to move the game to Sunday night and have a short week? He said, no to Sunday game. He said, I've got to go to church. So Chris Del Conte said, I'm worried about church, not these Ohio State heathens.
Love it.
Look at that. The College Baseball World Series bracket, the College World Series bracket is out, and it is quite SEC heavy.
Vandy!
The top eight seeds are all SEC teams, or I should say, eight of the top 16, so the brackets, the teams hosting regionals.
See, only three of them should make it.
Right, there you go. Arkansas, Auburn, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. They are all hosting these tournament games. Man, and A&M, they started the year preseason number one. They started the year number one.
You were waiting for that.
Number one. And they finished with a 30-26 record, first team ever to start the season number one and miss the NCAA tournament.
Mm.
And then their girls team, the softball team, got knocked out by Liberty.
Are you embarrassed?
First, like, one seed to get knocked out like that and not make the super regional. Bad, bad look. Bad
curse,
day.
Curse of Jimbo.
Bad day.
Yeah.
To be a fighting Texas Aggie. Speaking of the Women's College World Series, that is getting going today. That will start today. You will have Texas at Florida at noon. This is in Oklahoma City. You will have Tennessee, Oklahoma at 2:30 or 1:30. Oklahoma's going for like their ninth straight title. I think it's like fifth. Then you will have Ole Miss and Texas Tech at 6, and then Oregon, UCLA at 8:30. Women's College World. I got to say, the softball, super fun.
Will you watch more of the softball or college baseball? People get into the college baseball one.
They do.
Is this where all the shots?
Yeah.
The shot contest?
Yeah, the shot contest.
Happens?
Yep.
Now, do your kids watch either? Do your kids?
They watch the baseball.
They do.
A lot, yeah.
They watch more college baseball than pro.
They watch, because they mostly watch highlights. They're watching the highlights, right? But my older one, he's on the MLB app and he's on the college baseball, you know, highlight YouTube thing, whatever. So they watch quite a bit of it, but it's only mostly around Tennessee.
I love softball. Like I've gotten into the Keller, like, opened my eyes to that game. Happens really fast.
Well, the game's like 90 minutes long.
But I mean, like, it also, like, I mean, everything happens really, obviously, with like the mound being closer and everything else. Like, that game's really fast and really intense. Didn't you go up against a UTA pitcher back in the day? A softball pitcher?
We did.
How did you do in that?
Let's see. We did two. We did one against the girls, like, pro team. Remember, we played a softball game. We wound up beating. We walked them off on a Mac angle, opposite field single.
How the hell do you remember that?
I'm like LeBron. I'm like LeBron with the memory.
Except
right?
You forgot that we interviewed Tommy DeVito's agent.
I did. I
had no idea what Bobby was talking about yesterday.
I had no idea. Let's see. So I popped up to first in that game. And then in the other time where I met the UTA pitcher, she got me. Struck me out.
Mm. Yeah.
Bassett hit a fly ball against her.
Give me a couple hours. Get the timing down.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
That's what you need. Like, it's like, you know, when you're just up there.
Yeah.
You know, when you're up there, you're cold.
Yeah.
Come on. No chance.
Come on, man.
I mean, I need teamwork.
Let me ask. Who would I ask Tyrese advice for? Let me ask Jenny Finch.
Jenny Finch.
Yeah.
Hey, Jenny Finch, years ago, it was she struck out Blaylock. Hank Blaylock had done something against her, and they said the equivalent of how close she is, and Jenny Finch, it's like a 98-mile-per-hour fastball.
And it's rising, so, like, you're swinging under everything. Yeah. And, man, I'll tell you, I was on it because I had fouled the first one off, okay? And then the second one, I swung through. Or I swung through the first one. I fouled the second one off. I was on it. And she pulled the string and threw me a changeup.
Just pulled the chair out from under you.
I did like a pirouette kind of spin in the batter's box. I was like, you've got to be. That's not fair. That is not fair. Real quick, one thing. What do you think about this? So Arkansas, after SGA won the MVP and advances, you know, obviously advances, Arkansas posts Coach Cal has produced an NBA MVP guard at his last two stops. And they talk about SGA and Derrick Rose. They didn't happen at Arkansas.
But they got the coach.
Yeah, but is that okay?
Well, give me the announcement again.
So Cal posted, I'm so proud of Shea here in the MVP through his work. Yeah. They reposted it, which is fine. Yeah. They just retweeted it. But they reposted it and said, he has produced an NBA MVP guard his last two coaching stops.
I support it.
Okay.
I think it's fine.
All right. So you're not trying to
drift
on somebody else's.
No, it's factually correct. His last two stops, he's produced MVP. He just hasn't done one here yet, but he will.
RJ Choppy with the College Kegger Thursday edition as we try to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Could this blockbuster save this offense and baseball team on the home of the Rangers next?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A look at second. Here's the pitch. Bichette swings and hammers one to deep left field. Back goes Osuna. He's at the wall, and it is gone. Bichette with a two-run homer. And the Blue Jays have a 2-0 lead.
Groundhog's Day all over again. Every time we talk about this baseball team, boring, lifeless, scoreless, great pitching. Same thing every single day on the home of the Rangers with Sean and RJ. Yesterday was Mally with the wasted effort. 6 innings, 0 earned. He had 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. The ERA is at a 1.64.
That good?
1.64. So 6 innings, 0 runs for naught because they had one hit. One hit with the return of Corey Seager as they lose to the Jays 2-0. The Toronto Blue Jays came in here and won the series, scoring a grand total of 4 runs. 4 runs.
So
to win the series. I wonder how that would match up like with 3-game series. Maybe there's a series of 1-0, 2-0, like classic pitcher runs that a team went on, but how often does that happen where in 3 games you score 4 and win it?
Well, let me tell you this. In their 6 games against the Yankees and Blue Jays the past week, they've lost 5 of 6 and they allowed 14 runs.
That's pathetic. This is so bad.
People want us to start questioning Bochy. This is what happens. Now, again, you're 3 games under, but we got the hitting coach on every week. We're starting to, you know, wonder about Chris Young and what move he's going to make. What about the Hall of Famer?
All right, so if you want to criticize, to me, the ability to criticize the manager, it's pitching changes. You criticize the manager on pitching changes, or you criticize him on the lineup. Like the structure of the lineup, or why is he playing this guy?
Okay.
You know, I haven't.
Not why is he not. TJ is one of the Tolos DMing me saying, have this discussion, not why aren't you developing the hitters? Why aren't you getting more increased production out of these at bats?
I don't think the manager is developing hitters. Like, at the major league level, that's just not. Yeah, you can either hit or you can't. Bochy could say whatever he wants to Adolis Garcia. Adolis Garcia on a 3-1 pitch chasing a slider outside the zone. That's not Bruce Bochy. Now, if you want to sit here and tell me that Bochy ought to bench Adolis or Simeon or whatever, that's a different argument for a different day. He also has owners that he has to answer to. Are like, why am I paying this guy $185 million if you're just not going to play him?
Right.
So it's not so cut and dry, you know, where it's just like,
it's like, yes, getting on Jason Kidd for someone's shooting form.
Yeah, like, it is a meritocracy. It also isn't. Right? Juan Soto, I don't care what Juan Soto does in year 10 of this contract, he's playing.
Right.
Like, he's just playing. They're paying him, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Marcus Simeon, if it all comes down to it, is I would assume I would assume, is going to get at-bats over Josh Smith.
I mean,
maybe he shouldn't.
No, certainly not last night. Josh Smith was the only one who did anything.
But if those were the only two options, now in one game, that's a different story. But like if those were the only two options and nobody was hurt and you had a whole week or 10 days, Marcus Semien's getting the at-bat. That's just the reality of it. I mean, he's got contracts to worry about.
This is, I mean, the games they keep wasting, though. So Tyler Mahle, I was looking at this. First off, Tyler Mahle leads Major League Baseball in starts where he allows two runs or fewer. He's got more than anybody else. He's got one more than Paul Skeens at this point. But if you look at games where Mahle goes at least five innings, gives up three runs or fewer, the Rangers are 500 in those games. They're 5-5 in games where he gets you into the sixth inning, gives up three runs or fewer, and they're winning just half the games. It's brutal right now how bad the offense is. And it's like each day we come in here and it's almost like, all right, what's a different way we can say how bad they are, like to really drive this home? And it's becoming frustrating because it's like, they're just awful.
We're going to have to start turning up the questions on Brett Boone. Wednesdays at 9:20. It's going to get a little uncomfortable. You know, at what point are they pressing? And at what point he keeps on saying, and I get it, these guys won a world championship 2 years ago. It's there. Is it? At what point do you have to say the talent isn't good enough anymore versus it's in there and we just got to continue to have a search team try to go ahead and pull it out? You got a blockbuster to save us?
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Look, that's what I'm searching for, not the internal talent. I'm searching for deals.
All right, so.
They ain't coming from within.
You're going to get me eight hitters?
What's that?
You're going to get me eight hitters?
You're going to need eight hitters. Listen, here's the problem. The problem is that the team that is going to be looking for something isn't going to play ball with you.
Oh.
The Astros just lost Renel Blanco for the season. So they're looking, obviously, for some pitching. He had nine starts to start the year. His ERA was in the fours, low fours. But, I mean, he still has been, at times, a decent pitcher. They are in the thick of the whole race, too. Rangers have an abundance of pitching. You know, now listen, they're not going to trade. I don't want some of these. Jake Myers, Isak Paredes, they're having great years. I'm not too concerned with guys in career years. I want to stay away. They're not going to give up Yordan. They're not going to give up Pena. Yordan's been hurt anyway for like the last 3 weeks. So it really doesn't match. But this is exactly the kind of thing that we need to be looking for. A team that loses a starter that has now a lack of pitching because we have a surplus of it, and you go out there and you say, hey, you know what? You're a win now team. We're a win now team. Mm-hmm. We'll send you Mahle and you send us back, you know, whoever. You know, like that's what got to target these teams. Teams that lose a guy like Blanco or any starter around the sport.
Day off today. Then the St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow, who are eight games over 500. They're second place in the Central at 32-24. RJ Choppy's favorite fan base.
Thank God it's here. I don't listen to those idiots try to tell me how they invented the sport.
Get a little hat tip to the opposing team. No, like I'll you give love you a so tip. Much.
Is your coffee playing tricks on you? Bobby Belt scrambling with my mind a little bit.
Yeah, this is something that when I see a study like this, it really makes me question. It doesn't make me go, oh, how fascinating. It makes me go like, what are you guys doing to like screw with the data? Because there's no way this is true. So new research says there may not be any need to drink caffeine at all. You can get the same boost if you just drink decaf.
Hope Jake Reed was listening.
New research is saying that the boost you feel from a cup of coffee might just be placebo effect. A new study published suggests that the energizing effects of coffee might have less to do with caffeine and more to do with the ritual of drinking it. In a double-blind, placebo-controlled experiment involving habitual coffee drinkers, researchers found that ingesting decaffeinated coffee produced many of the same physiological and cognitive responses as caffeinated coffee. These findings suggest that regular coffee consumers may react to the experience of drinking coffee in ways that are independent of its caffeine content. So basically, you may plateau and get like a caffeine tolerance, but it's your ritual and things like that. And so it just gets you into the right mindset.
I'll tell you, I go to my mom's house, at least once or twice a week.
Wish I could get
work done while I'm waiting for the kids. I got to pick the kids up at school.
You wish you could go to RJ's mom's house?
Yeah. I go over to her little Keurig thingy, and this lunatic has got decaf everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just decaf.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you drinking with it? What's with the
my
decaf?
Dad says that, now he's 90, but he says if he has a ton of regular coffee, the second or third cup will burn his stomach up, so he has to have decaf. So he's convinced that something will burn him up inside.
Especially if he hasn't eaten.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll get me too. I'll get like an upset stomach if I haven't eaten.
So because caffeine will produce more stomach acid. So like if he's already got an issue, then yeah, decaffeinated coffee won't make
his
stomach.
But when I'm driving in and I take like my first like three or four sips, I'm waiting to be like, ah, there it is. Like when I took the Adderall at the Combine in Indy that Bobby gave me.
No, I didn't. And no, you didn't.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. When I picked up that pill off the ground randomly and took it, I felt like Dane Brugger. I'll never forget it. I was like, yes, Dane, tell me all the football. I could feel it. And I'm sure if I took it every single day and I found these pills on the ground every single day, it wouldn't have that same effect. But I'm waiting for that coffee boost. When you get the red eye or whatever we get at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a shot of espresso in there.
I'll feel that sometimes.
Yeah, that's like... Yeah, rocket fuel.
Yeah, but a lot of these things are mental. Smoking, probably. Mm-hmm. It's just a habit.
It's a habit.
Mental thing.
Yep, it's a way to kill time.
Yep.
For the 972, I just have Himalayan pink salt, lemon, beetroot, and water. I gave up my coffee, all that other stuff. I've been putting...
That's some new trend.
That's what Stefan Diggs had, the Himalayan pink salt.
Right. I've been putting sea salt in my water.
Come back to daddy.
I've been putting sea salt in my waters in the morning. Like, I have a cup of water in the morning. It's just sea salt.
Why? I know you read it somewhere.
I read it somewhere. It's supposed to give you, like, essential minerals that you don't have.
Okay.
Like, that you're deficient in. That's why
I get enough salt.
Well, it's not like sodium salt. It's like, it gives you, like, other minerals, like magnesium and stuff.
No, that's why, like, Gatorade has, like, salt in it and stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Because of that, yeah.
Another TikTok warning with a trend gone wrong.
This is, it's getting bad. This is called the TikTok Tackle Challenge, the tackle game. And a teenager has already died from this. So it's a brutal tackle game inspired by the social media challenge. And this wasn't like a 12. This is a 19-year-old died on Monday, a day after he suffered a serious head injury. So it's a group of friends where participants compete in full contact collisions without headgear. So... kind of like the Oklahoma drill that you see on the beaches at spring break. Those videos you would see of the Oklahoma drill, where this is like it's a runner and a tackler charging towards each other at full speed, kind of like on a battlefield. They call it run it straight. It started in Australia, New Zealand, and now it's we're circulating on social media. I mean, everything kind of circulates now much faster than it used to. But another stupid, dumb TikTok challenge. That I hate. It's a double-edged sword. Do I tell my kids about this and now they'll think, oh, well, let's do this,
right?
Or do I say nothing and if I tell them, do I risk giving them the idea, or do I say nothing and hope they don't hear about it and then they wind up doing it anyway?
What was the because we always wonder, like, does every generation have something like this? Like, what was the dumb, reckless thing that you guys felt was common growing up? That, like, you guys got into that you would get lectured for?
Sitting in the bushes, shooting at BBs at your friends?
Like, that kind of... But you're not doing anything that... but you're not doing anything that you feel like, oh, you might die here.
Like it feels an eye out. BB.
Crack pencils.
It feels like they're doing a lot of stuff these days that, like, you could die from.
Yeah.
Rather easily.
Shout out to Chicoline. Just texted me. I'm in an Uber, just got to Dallas. My driver has you on. So it is George or Jorge. And he says... He's listening. He's a Tolo.
All right.
And listening to the morning show.
Chicoline, tell him how I'm your favorite.
Shouldn't he be working and not in an Uber right now?
Bro.
This is about the same time he comes in every day.
Yeah.
He takes an Uber to work?
He's been in Miami. I wanted to ask him about the canceled concert thing, and then he's sitting there at Liv probably in Miami.
I hate Liv.
But I just want to point out to Chicoline how he was not listening to La Grande. And his name is Jorge. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And now Cheek Lead is cussing us out right there in the car. All right, Cowboy OTAs today. Would you trade the Cowboys' biggest weakness for another NFC East team's biggest problem. B-Low,
D-Bell
is next on the home of America's team, 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
What is the Cowboys' biggest weakness? And would you possibly trade it for somebody else's biggest weakness? I know everybody thinks the Cowboys are in a pretty rough spot, and they have been for 30 years now without a conference title game appearance. But USA Today has a rundown of what they think is the biggest weakness that every team is facing still as we enter the summer. And when you look over it, there are obviously some that are going to be super preferential, where it's like some team may have like a kicker. Okay, well, I'll take the kicker over something that's impacting every single down. But when you look over this, specifically in the NFC East, it might be the case where you say, you know, if that's Dallas's biggest weakness, that may not hurt them as much as Washington's hurts theirs. And so we're going to talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Very predictably, the number one weakness, according to everybody nationally, for the Dallas Cowboys is
running back.
It's the running back, which I actually don't agree with at this point.
Really? Because they drafted a Longhorn?
No, because to me, they've done so much work to try and fix the actual trenches and just like create space that way, that that's a more solid position to me right now than figuring out whatever the hell they're going to do at corner. I don't know where Deron Bland's playing right now. I don't know when Trayvon Diggs is going to be back. I don't know if they can count on Kalen Carson at this point. I don't know any of these guys they traded for. Corner, I really don't have any sort of like solid answer of that guy's playing there all season and he's going to be good. I just don't know that answer right now. And that's something that I think we're going to see them when they get to the end of minicamp. That's when you'll start hearing buzz about before they go off for their summer vacations. You'll hear something about, oh, Cowboys are working out three veteran corners today or something like that. That's typically when you see that. But USA Today says that Dallas's biggest weakness is the running game. Again, pretty predictably. They say that, you know, Dallas struggled last year with Rico Dowdle, or until Rico Dowdle come in and kind of solidify things. But they've got Javonte Williams, who was 43rd out of 44 qualified runners last year in rush yards over expectation. They picked up a flyer on Miles Sanders. They drafted Jaden Blue on day three, but there's not really a strong answer there. So when you look at that, you go, okay, that's the setting. Let's look at some of the other contenders now. And the first one that I wanted to jump to was the Commanders. The Commanders' biggest flaw, their biggest weakness right now, as a team that was pretty good last year, got to the NFC title game. The Washington Commanders' biggest flaw right now is their pass defense, according to USA Today. It says Washington fielded the 22nd ranked pass defense last year and made it to the NFC title game anyway.
And made a big deal.
With Marshawn Lattimore, right. And if Marshawn Lattimore still has juice left to be squeezed, he'll be an asset in the secondary. Which,
how old was he, 2016 draft?
2017. Marshawn Lattimore's probably getting close to 30 now. If he's not there already, he's 29. Dude, so he'll be 30 next year, actually.
The roller coaster ride of the cornerback position in the sport is getting closer scary now.
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs, Jair Alexander, what's going to be up with Lattimore? I mean, one year you're locked down and the next year you're not.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I were to say right now, like, right off the top of your head, who do you think are, like, the best corners in football? Like, that answer changes every summer, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if we go look at ESPN's list they do every year where they talk to front office people and say who are the top 10 at each position, I bet that corner position fluctuates almost more than anything else.
It makes me wonder if you can narrow down who the best corners are going to be that year based on who they're playing as at quarterback that season.
Yeah, I mean, there may
like
be
a study.
There may be a tie in there. Also, like, yeah, how much does it change based on, you know, schemes changing or different guys in terms of, like, who was across from you and how does that take away attention? Like, when Bland and Diggs are on the field, that changes up the way that they play together.
Yeah.
But when you look at Washington's pass defense, and You remember we were talking about Lattimore at the end of last year. Lattimore was getting like cooked a little bit.
Yes.
Like once he got to Washington. So there's still a question there about how solid he really is. And they lost, obviously, Dante Fowler, who's here in Dallas now. He was their most efficient pass rusher last year. So when you look at where Washington's at right now, I don't know that I would trade the running game issues Dallas potentially has for Washington's pass defense right now. That to me like seems like, obviously, well, yeah, there's more stability in other parts of the team. But if you want to talk about...
But make it secondary for secondary. Make the Cowboys secondary your biggest concern. Because I agree, I'm more concerned about the secondary than the run game.
Yeah, and my issue with the secondary right now, and it's not even secondary specific, it's corner specific. My issue with the corners right now is just, it's not even like, I don't think they'll be good or anything. It's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Deron Bland's going to have a great year. I think he's going to be fantastic wherever he plays. I just don't know where he's playing.
Yeah.
If he's playing the nickel or he's playing outside, that changes the way I view the corner group probably. And so it's got this wide variance right now that's really unstable. I guess from the perspective of you view Dallas's run game as their weakness because you say, we've seen Javonte Williams. He has to prove he can actually play again. Miles Sanders has to prove he can play again. Deuce Vaughn has to prove he can play at all. And, you know, Jaden Blue is a fifth-round pick who has to show he can hold on to the ball. Jaden Blue, we haven't talked about that a ton. Jaden Blue's fumble issues at Texas were basically the worst in the country. He is a fumble machine Texas. And that's something that there's some concern about. But overall, I think when you look at...
I feel like the Dallas Cowboys did not fumble the football last year. I need to be double-checked on that. Peyton, you can do that.
Yeah, they're throwing too many interceptions.
Check on the fumbles, because I don't remember a lot of fumbles. I bet they're bottom seven in the league in terms of fumbles lost.
Let's see if this makes you feel any better again. The Philadelphia Eagles. They don't have a ton of issues right now.
Am I wrong?
Dallas Cowboys lost the most fumbles by a team in 2024 with 14 of them.
Okay. I watched less football.
That's according to StatMuse. I have no idea.
No, I'm looking at it. Fumbles lost. They lost 14. That was worst in the NFL.
Like what? What running back was fumbling?
I'm guessing, and I'm going to look really quick. I bet you it was the quarterbacks getting hit. Cooper Rush had 9 fumbles last year.
What a screwy choppy.
Oh, but
9?
Yeah, 9.
He lost 9 fumbles?
Well, he had 9 fumbles. I don't know how many lost. It doesn't say that there.
But from the running backs, I don't remember the running backs, so I apologize to myself. I do watch more football.
Jake Ferguson had 4 fumbles last year. Jeez, I did not remember having that many. The Eagles, their
Carson
biggest issue.
Beck had a bigger one.
Their biggest issue is safety and secondary depth, which that was a big issue for them in 23. They were really bad in the secondary. They were getting cooked late in the season. That's why a lot of people felt like their run wasn't sustainable. And that's why they really focused on, all right, we're going to get Cooper DeJean. We're going to go get Quinyon Mitchell. We're going to really address the secondary. Well, their cornerback competition has still kind of behind that starting group. If they take an injury, they're in trouble. And their safety play has still not been great a lot of times. So again, you're looking at Washington's pass defense, Philly's secondary. I think everybody would rather be in Philly's position right now overall. But if you're just talking about like a weakest link type of thing, you're only as strong as your weakest link, then I at least would say I'd rather deal with what Dallas has got at running back right now than potentially deal with whatever's going on in the secondary in Washington and just potentially if there's any sort of injury issues in Philadelphia, that becomes a much bigger issue much quicker.
It's almost... I'm not trying to crap on your segment here, but it's an easy answer when you talk about other things outside of running back because we all feel the same.
Right.
It's offensive line. I keep mentioning Rico Dowdle. Put someone back there. And that the offensive line will tell you how the running game is going to be. So you're not
going to
be...
I'd much rather have a weak running game than a weak pass defense.
Yes. There you go.
Look, if Dak's healthy and Pickens is going to come in here and play like they think he can and Ferguson's going to bounce back and they're able to protect better, if all those things that they're anticipating or projecting are correct and your two biggest contenders in the NFC East, their issue is defending the pass or their depth in the secondary, that makes you feel better about those 6 games you're going to go play against the NFC East. I won't even bother reading what New York's biggest weakness was because they suck. They're terrible. Okay, over at ESPN. We got Football Power Index.
You were really excited about this yesterday.
I like the FPI, baby.
I love the FPI because it's so funny how bent out of shape people get about it, including football teams.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles, this was the thing that the Eagles were all worked up about in 2023, where they were saying, oh, we're like undefeated, or we have one loss, and ESPN keeps telling us their little projection number that we're not good enough.
So the most analytic heavy team in the league. They come all against analytics.
The players whined about. I mean, there were a ton of quotes about it.
What is it?
The FPI it's their ratings and projection model. So it's basically a model that I think Seth Walder's really involved in it. But it's essentially just a forecasting tool where they do trends and different things like that, and they try to project out odds. They do a bunch of different simulations to see what your odds are of winning your division, getting in the playoffs, winning the Super Bowl, whatever else. So this has been typically. Like anything else, their model generally reflects pretty well on people that we saw last year and thought were really good. And so it doesn't stray too much, but they do not like Dallas. The FPI this year does not like the Dallas Cowboys. ESPN projects them to go 8-9 next year, and that record would give Dallas a top 10 pick in 2026, according to their model. They have just a 30.6%
loaded quarterback class.
They have just a 30.6% chance to make the playoffs. That's the 25th best odds in football of getting to the postseason. FPI only gives Dallas a 12.2% chance to win the NFC East, which means that their model puts Dallas way closer to the Giants than it does to the Commanders or Eagles.
What are the Commanders and Eagles?
The Commanders and Eagles are at like 45. They're in the 40 range of winning the division. So, and Dallas is 12, and then I think the Giants are like 2%. So it puts. That clearly says Washington and Philly are separate from Dallas. They've got just a 2.9% chance to make the Super Bowl, according to this model, and a 1.4% chance to win it, which means the Mavs had better odds of getting the number one pick than FPI believes the Cowboys have at winning the Super Bowl
in
2025.
The Mavs got it. They did.
We've already set a precedent, baby. That's what we've done here. For comparison, last year, though, FPI, again, it doesn't always knock it out of the park. For comparison, the Cowboys had the fourth best odds of winning the Super Bowl last year heading into the season. And that was behind the Lions, 49ers, and Chiefs. And I don't know if you guys knew this. The Lions, 49ers, and Chiefs, none of them actually won the Super Bowl last year. So that didn't happen. Some of the teams that the projection like really likes on the model, they're big on Cincinnati as a bounce back. Cincinnati right now is considered a top 10 team. They're a little bit softer on Detroit. Detroit's lower than Philly, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. On the projections for how they're going to play this season. I'm trying to remember where I saw this yesterday. Somebody had a projection that they thought Detroit was going to be a 9 or 10 win team yesterday. Like somebody in media.
Ooh.
And it was not like an ESPN hot ticket.
They had a tough schedule. I mean, like, that's not going to stun. Now, what that is that is an anti-Jared Goff person because he has 7 road games.
But how much would the FPI take into account the coaching losses of the coordinators?
That I don't know.
How do you value that?
I wonder if it would take out the. It would take into. I assume it would take into account outdoor road games more.
So Seth Walder writes about it. It's a proprietary formula, so they don't disclose all of it. But he says that it's primarily based on predictive ratings are based on win totals from the betting market in conjunction with each team's schedule, along with factors such as the difference between a team's starting and backup quarterback and a special teams rating that incorporates specific kickers. So they've got like. It's really layered in terms of like what if there's an injury and different things like that. So, I mean, they go really deep with it.
But not coaching.
No, coaching at least is not identified here as something that they measure in this context.
There's your football fix. More of it with the Red Zone every day at 9:20. This is Below the Belt on DFW Sports Station. Cowboys practice again today. Bobby will be out there the full recap tomorrow morning. Will the Dallas Stars stay alive tonight? And why are the Dallas Mavericks divorcing themselves from hockey? Final hour, Thursday edition after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.